Welcome back, folks, to another episode of Call That Girl's Remote Support Show. I'm Lisa Hendrickson, your hostess, and this is show number 9. All right, folks, it's been a while since I've been here, so we have a little bit of catching up to do. I want to apologize for the 2-month break, or over 2 months. It's just last few months I had to do some restructuring of some things, and hopefully we'll start seeing the shows back on here a little more consistently, and I hate over-promising that, but these things couldn't be helped, so we're back on track, though. Now, I want to jump right into my usual things I've dealt with in the past, few weeks. And then we got an announcement in the middle of the show. And then this week's topic is managed services. And this can maybe be a longer show because I have a lot to talk about with that. But we'll see. I'm just starting to get into managed services. It makes me a little nervous, to be honest with you. But we'll talk about that later. Okay, so let's get to the drama. The drama about 6 weeks ago was client emails. Lisa, I'm having a problem with Outlook. It's a broken PST file, just needs to be fixed. I'm like, you know what? Easy, 15-minute job, $49. I even quoted her, which I'm used to doing because, honestly, I can fix those PST files in 15 minutes or less, sometimes even in like 5 minutes. Silly. So, of course, I get into the computer. I try to do my file repair. It doesn't work. Well, let's just put it this way. This 15-minute job turned into over a week of me having to, I'm not even kidding, I had to Frankenstein everything. The PST file would not repair, and then the hard drive was having issues. So I had to fix the operating system was having issues. So I had to fix things there. Her external hard drive had viruses. Her BCM, which she's, one of my only clients that has BCM and uses it, that was giving us problems. So we decided to take everything over to the new computer that I had set up for her back in January. Now, she paid me to set up this computer back in January, but when I remoted in, I was on the old computer, and I was kind of like wondering what the heck happened. But anyway, it turns out that the computer I set up in January had Windows 7 on it, and when I remoted in to that one to move all the files over, I noticed Windows 8. And I'm going, client, I don't recall you getting Windows 8. She goes, no, I went to the Microsoft store to have them fix my BCM because personally I was to the point I couldn't fix it because I'm not a BCM specialist. But by the way, that's business contact manager for Outlook. And she goes, and so they just decided to reinstall my whole computer and they put Windows 8 on there. And I'm like, really? I was like, all that work I did, which was like 2 hours of work, was totally gone. Like everything was gone. And since she's had them touch it, she hasn't worked on it. So there she is working on the old computer again, which she had all these problems with. Mind you, the hard drive was full. I mean, it was maxed out, redlining, on the deathbed. Oh, so I was like, okay. So now pretty much we had to go and reset up the new computer. And you know what? Like I said, it turned this into the nightmare job. At the final end, I mean, what are you supposed to say to a client? It's supposed to be your quote of $49. She knew it went above and beyond. And I kind of felt like I was just getting one snag after another. And I only ended up billing her for like an hour. Did I do the right thing? Well, she's been a long-term client. She pays quick. She's, really nice, friendly. No, I didn't bill right. But on the other hand, I'm like, I almost have this partial like empathy for people with technology, and at least I know how to fix things, and sometimes I learn from these things as well. But unfortunately these hard drives getting filled, and the I couldn't back it up, and just everything. It's just, so here's the lesson I learned in a nutshell, is I'm not going to quote any more exact like fixes. I've decided to start saying, a repair like that usually only takes me 15 minutes. But I will just let you know, this could end up being a 1 to 4 hour repair. That kind of gives you a little bit of wiggle room then. So if it is a 2 hour repair, they've already approved it and you're good to go. And, it's up to you what you want to bill. But that's kind of my new stance on quoting people is, I'm quick like this, but hey, it could be a 4 hour drama. And then you're covered. Let me just tell you that at the very end, She was like, hey, I want to move to Salesforce now. And here's all the information. And she literally sent me two or three emails with all the Salesforce information. And I couldn't understand any of it. Because when I logged into the Salesforce site, I didn't see any of that stuff that she told me. And the videos didn't match. And I was like, oh, I said, you should just call Salesforce at this point. You know, I was kind of at a place in life where I, you know, just couldn't help her at that moment. I could probably help her now. But anyway, moving ahead. The next problem that you guys all have to watch out for, you're probably already dealing with it. And if you're not, you're going to be maybe. Windows 8, oh, you know, I gave it a shot, what, a couple years ago came out, whenever. Thought I'd love it. No, I definitely do not love it anymore. I think I definitely just want to say I hate it at this point. Client calls in, virus removal, standard. In fact, I have, I don't think I've talked about it on the show before, but I hired the RSTT remote support tech team run by Chris Crothers to help me with my night and weekend support. And during the day, he does my tune-ups and virus removals. So David, excuse me, David, my client, called in and said, hey, I have a virus removal. I had Chris help, and everything went fine until we went, or Chris went to go reboot the computer, and lo and behold, Windows Update happened at the exact same time. Now, Chris has done oodles and oodles of virus removals for me. Can it snag up in a reboot with an update? Of course, any operating system can do that, but because Windows 8 is kind of still half in the bag, and always in beta state, in my opinion, it crashed and we couldn't get it back up. And Chris knows tons of tricks to get Windows 8 back up, and nothing he could do worked, and nothing he knew worked. So at that point, I told the client he needs to call the manufacturer, get the Windows 8 disk sent to him, or to have them troubleshoot. Maybe it was a bad hard drive, you know. So he did that. He said he's going to get the disk. He called in, Chris helped him with the reinstall over the phone, which is, you know, awesome, awesome tech skills if you can do that. Client got up and running, had the mosey backed up, you know, everything was good, and thought we were out of the, you know, out of the weeds, I guess you could say, and nope, we're back in the weeds again. 2 weeks later, which was just a few days ago, client calls back and says, yeah, Lise, it's doing it again. And now, at this point, it wasn't as bad as the last one, but it was giving some loop error, and we had to quote him. It's a new bill, you know, and so it's going to be probably $69 to fix, and he didn't want to do it. And at that point, the lesson, well, there is no lesson learned, because we're very clear on what to do, you know, like, you know, we're very clear about the billing with the clients and everything, and he was just kind of thinking this all rolled in, and I'm like, you know what, it doesn't really roll in. It there is a stop, and there's a new bill at some point. And it's Windows 8. I mean, that's why I don't recommend to any of my business clients to buy Windows 8. I say stick with 7. It's consistent. We know how to fix it, and we know what's going to happen. Windows 8, you can't even do a system restore. And it's impossible almost to talk a client through a system restore if they don't have the start menu shortcut, because they don't understand hit the Windows and the C and go search and do this, or hit the Windows and the W and do this. And it's, you know, it's not appy. People don't think apps. People think start menu, control panel, you know, they think that way. And so this to me has been just a cluster, you know what, of trying to help people remotely. And this isn't the first Windows 8 problem I've had to deal with. I mean, it's, we've already had to rebuild another client that we just got done setting up. I think I talked about it in a couple of my last shows, but basically just set the whole thing up, did a reboot, it snagged, we had to rebuild it all again. And it's, you know, how do you tell the client, wow, we just spent 2 hours on your computer, and now we have to spend another 2 hours, and you know, what's the billing practice for that? I don't really know. I'm struggling with figuring out these new things constantly. So, anyway, moving ahead, I try to give good expectations with people with Windows 8 if they have it, and, you know, try to be very clear and very cool about things, because it's not stable, and I'm not recommending it to any of my clients anymore. Okay, now about a week and a half ago, We'll just call it a family member, quote unquote, called. The family member called me about 6 months ago with a bad virus. And since it was my family member, I was like, oh yeah, I'll just do it at night. I'm just hanging out. And I think his virus is probably one of the it wasn't even a virus, actually. It was more just junkware. But he had at least 20 some programs I had to remove one by one by one. Not your standard seven or eight. It was in the 20s. It was bad. He'd had them for years, all these toolbars. They just kept building. And finally, I was like, okay, you're all done. Gotcha, right? Well, he calls back in last week, like I said. And I had Chris take care of it because it was a night job. And I was like, yeah, just take care of it for me. Next day, my family member calls back in and says, yeah, I don't think you guys did. You got rid of it because it's back. And I said, okay, well, I can help you tomorrow, or whatever. I can't help you tonight. And this time I was going to do it because I just wanted to see what was going on. And lo and behold, he had downloaded a series of some downloaded manager programs. I think he was trying to update one of his torrents. And I was like, really? I even told him, I said, you re-downloaded all this junk we no doubt just removed 2 nights ago. And I just think it's so funny because people, they're so used to going to Google and clicking at the top, and that's it for them. I just put a blog out about Adobe. It's horrifying. People want Adobe Reader, they go to Google, they click on the top ad, and they're downloading junk. But they get Adobe, but then they get the tons of junk. And I told my family member, I said, just don't do that anymore. But see, the thing is, I know he's going to go and do it again because it's what he does. He likes downloading junk. So now that we know, but he pays, so that's good. I give him a deal, of course. Moving ahead. So interestingly, last year, I'd moved one of my clients to Hosted Exchange back when I was supporting Hosted Exchange through GoDaddy, which I do not anymore. I moved out of the GoDaddy fan favorite club some time ago. But anyway, her iPhone had an update, the big, I think, 7 update when that came out, I think. Her iPhone update deleted out her Exchange calendar, which in essence deleted her entire calendar off Exchange, off all of her devices. And so we had to spend 2 hours with the software, third-party software, blah, blah, blah. And eventually we got all of our stuff back, and it was a billable 2 hour call. But the smart thing is, she got another update on her phone, and she called me and said, Lisa, let's back up my calendar, my contacts, and even my email. And I said, no kidding, because here's what happened last year. When I called GoDaddy to get a restore done, they said they wouldn't do it. And I said, are you freaking kidding me? We're requesting a restore because it got completely zapped out and you won't do it. And I fought them tooth and nail and they said no. And I was like, you know what? I'm done with you guys. I was done. And I moved only to AppRiver and I do not support GoDaddy, period. Now, if a client calls and has GoDaddy, I will support the client. But if I have to make a choice, I will not choose GoDaddy because of that purpose of them not restoring that mailbox. That's not the first time they've actually irritated me to no end, because there's been quite a few times that their first level people think they're smarter than me and refuse to let me get to a second level person. If you've ever had to call them on a tech support call and been through that pain, when you want to tell the person, look, I know what I'm doing, so just send me to somebody else. And it's just a struggle. And I despise having to push or have to get upset when it comes to technology help, because I'm in a customer support business and that's what it's for. They're in sales and all they care about is making their commission. And once in a blue moon, you can get a helpful person there. But for the most part, I just quit and I just don't want to deal with it anymore. But anyway, moving ahead, she was smart. She said, look, let's do the backups. And that was good for her. It was a 30-minute call. I got everything backed up for her and she could safely update her iPhone. And then I have this story about the client that wants to fire me but just can't. So I did a migration for them back January, and I think I talked about them in the last show. It was the drama that never ended story. It just kept going and going and going. Well, finally, I got the drama settled and I could start billing them again on their normal, calls. And I don't know, they call about every 2 or 3 weeks with some little snag. I need email help for this, help for that. And I actually each time kind of say, you could save like $30 if you just buy a prepaid ticket. And they're like, nope, we're cool. I'm like, okay. So two times ago when they called, I said, all right, your bill is $89, but if you had a prepaid ticket, it would only cost you like $50 or something, whatever it was. And she said to me, Lisa, we don't think we're going to be using your company much more, so we're not interested. But can you help with this quick problem? So it's kind of like she just fired me, but still wants my help. And I said, okay, I'll help you. So I helped her, and it was a simple request, pretty simple. Now, the time before that, she had asked me to set up an email account, and I noticed that the computer was super slow, so I gave the computer a tune-up with her permission, and then I did the email just for free because it literally took me 5 seconds. Yeah, I was like, hey, I'll just throw it in. Be nice, girl. And so after this fix that she said she was going to let me go, a week later, she sent me an email saying, Lisa, we paid you to set up the email, and you didn't set up the two other emails. And this is urgent, and we expect this to be fixed today. And I'm like, really? Well, I don't recall you asking me to set up 3 email accounts, I'm thinking. So I emailed her back a nice friendly note and said, the last time I helped you set up 1 email account that you requested from the Exchange server, and then I did the tune-up, and I didn't charge you for the Exchange server setup. Because, if you use AutoDiscover, it literally takes a second, right? Didn't hear back from her. No return call, nada. No email. And I was like going, okay, so now I think they're officially going to fire me, right? Officially fire me. Nope. They emailed again last week. They said that they're having a problem with another email account, and they think they got hit by a virus. But they think that the email problem was part of the virus because they downloaded one of those download managers. And here I am going, I thought you were going to fire me, right? So I'm not understanding why you keep emailing me. And the thing is, I just know, and I'm going to toot my own horn here, is that I'm very fast, I'm responsive, and I'm pretty good at, I know their computers, So if for them to go find another company, they have to start a whole new relationship. And at this point, I know a lot of other technicians would be like, Lisa, you should just fire them. I'm like, well, I'm kind of proving my point that I should be their tech. She was adamant with me about a repair, and I came back and said, you didn't ask me to do the work. So how do you expect it to be done today and it being urgent even? Okay, so anyway, I remoted in. I did her, it wasn't even a virus. It was just, had to clean up some junk. And, it was a 30-minute call. And the funny thing is, on the phone, she was like, oh, hey. She was like super sweet. She was like, hey, what's that thing do? And just like being kind of like, she almost felt bad for being so mean to me in the last email, that she was overcompensating. And I'm like, well, now, I'm like, well, maybe I'm not going to get fired again. It's kind of one of those things where, they're not bad clients at all. It's just, I was just kind of like feeling I was going to get fired. I'm like, what should I do? It's a little awkward. Like, and you keep calling me. Well, anyway. All right. Moving ahead, we have the hardware purchase I never should have done. Okay, the hardware purchase I never should have done. This is an easy breezy one. I don't like hardware. I think you've heard me mention it before. I don't like it. I don't understand it. I do basics. I understand the basic, PC hardware. I've never liked it. I don't like dealing with it. So here's what happens. And this is a lesson I've learned for life. This is a lifetime lesson. There's going to be a never again on this. I'm going to guarantee you there's never going to be another mistake like this made in my life again. Client needs a DVD player. I tried to fix it with software, just thinking it might have been a driver issue, which I have no problem doing that. And, after 15, 20 minutes, I was like, I think you're probably right. And the DVD players do go bad, at some point. Maybe, whatever. So I went and looked up online, said, order something like this. I did not say order this. I said, this is kind of what you need. I CC'd my on-site technician as well. Said, you might want to check with my on-site tech to make sure this is the right part. I got on with my day and wasn't thinking. And next thing I know, she emailed back and said, "Hey, I ordered the part and it'll be here Thursday. So can he come out?" And I'm just thinking, whatever, sounds good to me. And the tech was like, "Yep, I can go out there." Okay, remember, I just kind of like thought maybe those two were going to talk about the part. I don't know. But tech gets out there. It's about a 20, 30-minute drive for him. Turns out it was for a desktop computer and she has a laptop. Wonderful. Oh, maybe it was opposite. Sorry. I ordered a laptop DVD player because I guess Google, when you search DVD players, they default to laptop or something. So then the client wasn't happy about that, but I mean, it wasn't the worst thing in the world that happened to her. She goes, "Well, I now have to pay a restocking fee and I have to pay for the shipping." That's all she said in the email. So basically, she was like, "So what are you going to do about it?" And I ate crow. I was like, "I'll cover it. You know, $7 to ship it, a 10% restocking fee. The whole thing's going to cost me $11 in the biggest lesson I've ever learned in my life." So understand this, folks. If you are not hardware savvy and you're a remote support specialist, I don't know. I'm just saying, don't let it bite you. Okay, because this one bit me. It was only $11 mistake, thank goodness. I mean, I've had bigger, more costly mistakes than that. But I'm never going to tell a client what hardware to order again because A, I'm going to let my professional on-site tech do that job. And I'm not going to because I just kind of was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm not really into parts. And when I did have stores, my techs did all the ordering. I never had to. So thankfully, they knew everything. And it was just something I just regret kind of doing. But in a way, I learned because this wasn't like a $1,000 part, right? Could have been way worse. Okay, moving on to the last bits of my jobs from the past few weeks is that I'm kind of getting really annoyed with Malwarebytes. And Malwarebytes is really annoying me because their new version works great. It probably, the scheduling is nice, the real time is nice, but it's giving a lot of snags, which is causing a lot of people to email me. Now, trust me, I don't care if my clients email me. I send them the link to the new download, and that pretty much takes care of it. And they email me back and say, "That worked." And I love supporting my clients. But I'm kind of annoyed that the product isn't self-fixing itself. You know, with its update, it should have brought down a new version, shouldn't be annoying my clients and saying that updates haven't been run. And then they click on the update button and it won't do it. So luckily, the fix is to re-download a fresh one and their license stays on and blah, blah, blah. But the second thing is I'm bothered that Malwarebytes kind of kicked me out as a reseller. Well, not kind of, they did. And if you were selling mal or sorry, if you were reselling Malwarebytes, you probably got the notification that you've been moved to a new partner plan based on your sales. And I read it a couple times, but the gist of it is I no longer can purchase my Malwarebytes from Cleverbridge. I have to now go through one of the channel companies of sorts. And then there's other things I had to do if I wanted to sell Malwarebytes was I had to have a certified person dedicated to knowing the product and all that, which I get that. You want knowledgeable people running your product. But for my company, I'd maybe sell 10 to 20 a month, and I just sold it and I supported it. And part of my sales on it is if a client had a problem with it, I did first level support. I would reinstall it, fix it, clean it, run it, anything you had to do to fix Malwarebytes. I also transitioned it to new computers for the clients, which can take some time, not a lot, but then you have to remove the other, bloatware that came with theirs, the Norton and whatever. So I mean, I pride myself on the support I did with Malwarebytes. But unfortunately, the removal of the reseller program made me have to move into the topic of this week, which is my new GFI managed sales I'm doing. And I can't be more happy. I'll just tell you guys. So I'm thrilled almost that things happen for a reason in life. And when I get talking about it here in a minute, we will talk about GFI managed sales. Now, real quick here, I have to get some information off my computer to make sure I have the right information, but I'm going to go to CompTIA this year in August. It's in Phoenix, and we're going to be having a meetup of sorts. So if you've been listening to other tech shows like the Mike Tech, or sorry, the Mike, I'm sorry, I'm doing two, three things at once here. The Mike Tech Show. Mike is going, Carrie Holzman's going, Instant House Call is sponsoring. There's gonna be some technical folks there for the meetup. It should be really a big, like, technical carnival of sorts. It should be fun. And it is at the JW Marriott Desert Ridge Resort and Spa, Phoenix, August 4th through the 6th. I will be flying in on Sunday, and there's going to be a meetup, I think, that day. So everybody that's attending and knows our tech circles will be having like a conference room of fun and whatnot. I mean, I kind of hope it's going to be in the bar, but I doubt it. Anyway, I'm staying Sunday, Monday, Tuesday night, and I'm going to enjoy the conference and check out some speakers. And then I'm also doing a live remote show at some point during those 3 days. I'm not sure when. I'll know more later. And I'm going to do a live. And I'm like, I already get nervous just doing this show. This one's recorded. How am I going to do a live one? But I promised I would, and I will. And then I'm flying home Wednesday because I got to get back to work. So if you are interested in attending, there will be a link, not in the show, but probably in my next show to get some more information. Right now, this is kind of like just chumming up, and everybody's getting excited and getting all the notes together. But there will be some formal marketing, and I am going to be raffling off some webinars and some ebook sets, and for people that attend, and maybe make some t-shirts, and hopefully make it like a fun thing for CTG over here. Okay, so that's my big announcement. And my big announcement is my exchange migration ebook is done. Holy smoke. I thought I was done writing ebooks, and apparently I'm not, because now I have another one coming. This exchange migration ebook is basically because, well, I made it because there's so many people that don't know how to do it, and there's so many lessons I learned while doing, the past 2 years of migrations, that I wrote a simple step-by-step guide. It's about 10 steps. I have about maybe 6 pages of learning things and why you should use AppRiver and why you should be a partner reseller and not a just a or a partner referral instead of a reseller. Less hassle, pretty much. But it's full of all the FYI stuff. So if you have already bought my remote ebook, this is a complimentary copy you're going to be getting in your email. And then that's the bonus book I give to everybody who buys it moving ahead. So if you have not purchased the remote support ebook and you want this exchange migration how-to, pick up the remote book. At the bottom of my show notes, there's a link. And then after that, you'll be on the list. And I also am launching my Remote Rockstars website in the next week. It should be up by the time the show's up. Thank goodness, because I've been just wanting to do so many updates, and I email everybody, and I'm kind of like just wanting to get the website up and so I can focus and wrangle you all in on one central communications area. Okay, now we're ready to talk about the big GFI move I've made. Okay, so the topic this week is GFI, or Managed Services, MSP, monthly plans. Could be a lot of things. I call it monthly plans or monthly maintenance plans, but really, I talk to my clients about it in the word monthly plans. So basically, how this all got started for me was last year, I was thinking, I've been reading up on Technible, all these other people that are doing managed services. And I read their threads and I'm like, I have no interest in managing servers and the hardware and putting them on a monthly plan and everything's all inclusive because I truly am a break fix company. And I love my break fix and I don't want to get out of it. But with the whole Malwarebytes issue happening, I got really concerned and was like, okay, how can I be a computer support company and not have an antivirus solution? And trust me, I really don't like any of them. Okay. I've removed viruses from every single, type of software installed. ESET, Kaspersky, Norton, Trend. I just didn't have faith in any of them to say to my clients, I trust one product. So then I decided, how about if we try to trust us? Trust the company instead and don't trust a product. I mean, because every product can fail. Well, but people fail, but I trust myself more. So I got thinking about it. I'm a one-woman show. I'm trying to build my company now based on some new services. And I was like, man, I'm just so jealous of these managed service guys. It'd be so great to have some recurring income every month. But what can I do? I mean, I thought $25 a month and they get an hour's worth of support. And I was playing with all these things. And then finally, Chris from the remote support tech team and I were talking about the malware bites thing. And I said, Chris, what are we going to do? Because I just don't feel comfortable with anything else. And I said, what if we came up with a monthly plan? We lower the price. Now I had the price at, higher price, let's put it that way. I said, what if I lowered it to more an affordable number? And I took away, see, here's what I used to do, is I charged 35 a month, plus I gave a free tune-up. And then the clients would pay for the year, or they'd play quarterly or every 6 months. I changed it. I thought, okay, let's take away the free tune-up. Let's get it down to like $25 a month. And let's do this. When a client calls in for a virus removal and they decide they want the GFI, they can actually get the virus removal included in the GFI that day. So I thought it's a nice pitch because our virus removals are $129. The GFI yearly is $250. So they're getting the virus taken care of on the spot, and then plus they get a year of protection. So that kind of covers any needs for other kind of antivirus when GFI has the antivirus. And also with the support from Chris and myself, we do the calls for any viruses for those clients. And that to me really seemed like a good niche because we get the monthly, but really what we do is bill them for the year up front. So instead of me getting $25 from, tons of people every month, I just get it right off the top. And that's nice for cash flow. And we tested it out. First client we offered it to bought it. I was like, nice. Nice, because there's a lot of things that we cover under the GFI umbrella. A lot of the simple things, a tune-up, Windows updates, so and virus removals, of course. So when people call in with if Chris or I recognize it's a GFI, issue, so reselling GFI, or excuse me, asking them to buy the monthly plan is a pretty good deal, and only two people have said no so far. So we have a good sales rate at this with this program. And since we're kind of just in the first couple 3 weeks, I think we started selling it on May 6th. And I believe my numbers aren't going to be accurate here. I believe we've sold probably 20 since May 6th. And about three of them, I think, are at a 6 month deal. So they decided to not pay for the whole year, which is fine. But, that gives them peace of mind for the next 6 months or to a year, whatever, that those things are covered under the GFI agreement or the monthly plan. I created a website for the clients to go to recognize what is covered and what is not. So they're very clear. Like if they're calling in for Outlook, no, it's not covered under the GFI plan at all. But they know that. They also have prepaid tickets with me, many of these clients, so they won't expect that. And we're very clear about it. Like, hey, call us at any time for these things. These things are billable. And the clients that are on prepay, they're fine with that too, because they just pay me, whatever for the break fix repair. But moving back just a little bit here, rolling back, is when Chris and I were talking about it, we really had to think of what's going to help the clients and support. And I think the biggest failure that a lot of people have is they sell a product and then what? You go out and sell these other big box products, you tell the client they have to go call the 800 number and deal with it. And I was like, I hate. That's why I took care of my Malwarebytes people from the first call in. I just couldn't. Well, here's why. The first time I had to call Malwarebytes to get support, they actually were talking to me like, tell the client to boot into safe mode. End of email. I'm like, really? Then what? They're going to boot into safe mode and wait for you to reply? Say, okay, we're in safe mode. No, they need better customer service if that's the kind of support they're going to give. Is they just can't send you an email telling someone to boot into safe mode. That was it. And trust me, I love Malwarebytes as a product. Okay, I'm just not happy with this reseller thing or the support. But I went and fixed that by me doing the support because it's a product I, do still love and support. But anyway, the fact is, if a client at 9:30 at night calls me with a problem, we take care of it. And also, with the GFI, it alerts us of problems, before the clients even know about it. And half the time, Chris takes care of it, and maybe more than half the time. Chris will email me and say, I took care of a bunch of viruses last night. Catch it, catch it, catch it, catch it. Client doesn't even know it's there. And I don't feel like we really need to email the client every time saying we just zapped out a bunch of viruses. But, you know, the point is that we have the reports, we're seeing what's going on, the traffic, and we know that those clients are benefiting because this junk out there now is really hard to manage. And if a tool can do that for us, it's better for us, it's better for the clients. So the GFI monthly plans for us are doing quite well. My next show, I'll give another update and kind of just let you know how, you know, we've had no complaints, none at all. And like I said, the sales are pretty good, and I will have a little bit more exact numbers. The last time we checked, it was 16, and I think we've sold 4 since then. But anyway, this was kind of a slow week here at Call That Girl, so I haven't been focusing on the sales. I've been focusing on my marketing, because when it's slow, you have to market, right? Anyway, I want to thank all the people that did email me congratulating me that I was getting into managed services. I've been putting it out on Technoblow a little bit, and people are like, hey, I'm so happy. They're actually emailing me saying that's a cool move, and they're excited. And I think everybody in Break Fix that takes the next step, like I am, and I've been doing this 7 years, it is exciting to go see that you're giving the clients something good and you're still making money, and you know, you're making it the right way, you know. The right way, and yet I'm not, you know, billing them $500 a month. You know, I'm not a managed services company like that. I'm just a little break fix company offering a good product, and the clients are happy, and people out there are paying attention. And the people that have been emailing me actually have said, look, we're thinking about it, or we're going to do it, or we have been doing it. So I told them all that I would talk about it in the show today and kind of run down what we've done. So Just a quick rundown again is pretty much Chris runs and manages it for me, and we do the sales. We give away, we don't give away, but if someone calls in for a virus removal, Windows update, or an iTunes update or something, snagging, that's when we upsell. I don't even want to use the word upsell because we're not upselling them. We're just offering them a different service. They're biting, they're paying, and they're liking it, and it's working out well. So as far as getting in touch with GFI and doing all that stuff, I'm going to leave this to Chris because I really am just kind of managing at this point and helping in sales. I'm not doing any of the IT part, and I'm kind of happy about that too, by the way, because it's been refreshing for me to grow a little bit and not have to have my hands in everything, because I miss my marketing over here, and that's what I get to do more of now. Okay, folks, I think that is about it for this show. Hope I covered enough in the GFI stuff. I like I said, I really didn't do a lot of the setup. If anybody has questions about it and want more information, email me and I'll forward them on to Chris. He's already taken a few of my, you know, people have emailed with questions. I've CC'd him on it. He's very helpful and he loves helping. So don't be afraid to throw me some emails. Okay, as we close each show, you can catch me on Twitter, handle @callthatgirl. You can catch me on Facebook, which I'm really never there, but the facebook.com/callthatgirlhelpdesk. You can catch me on LinkedIn, where I live, linkedin.com/in/callthatgirl. Please support the show and purchase my remote support ebooks. Just a friendly reminder that my website is being launched soon, where you get all the updates for the books now online, and they will be done as I learn or have something to share. It'll all be in the forums. And if you go there now, remoterockstars.com, you'll notice that the forums aren't so pretty, but I'm not a PHP developer, and this is the best I can do for now. And eventually I'll find someone that can make it all pretty and nice for me. But it'll be slow to get going, but I hope that everybody signs up and creates an account, and then we can alert everybody of the new updates and stuff. Okay, folks, that's it for this show. Thanks for checking it out, and we'll talk to you next time.